I'm Vance S. West from TrinityScience.com, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Just when you thought it was safe to get drunk, then say hi to your friends.
Drunken Dialing.
Drunken Dialing.
Just when you thought it was safe, make that late night booty call.
Drunken Dialing.
Drunken Dialing.
So touchy.
Oh.
Oh.
In the house.
Oh. There's a kangaroo.
Oh, www.drunkendialing.com.
Good night. Say good night. Say good night, Tommy.
Jeff Walmsley, MothmanLive.com, and co-author of Mothman Facts Behind the Legend, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Ghostly Talk, sticking our nose in the world's business.
What happened to your journalistic responsibility?
What do you mean journalistic responsibility? I talk about aliens for crying out loud.
Yeah? And what do you think aliens are?
Christ talking about this kind of stuff.
Aliens'
responsibility is usually holding the truth back. Christ's trying to bring it back out to people and let them see these things.
There you go.
I think we got one vote on your side, Clyde.
What are you talking about?
Well, you do. A lot of people are on my side, I think.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Just got blown out.
Not bad.
That was powerful, man.
It's my favorite break because it always energizes me to come back. And
because you're on the ceiling right now.
I need it. Yeah. So.
We're back. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
And man, it's been just quite a weekend. You all right there, Doug?
Hang on.
Uh oh, there he goes.
Sorry about that, guys. I'll be better next week.
Poor Doug.
Oh, not next week, but the week after.
Next weekend. Okay, we'll discuss that later. I don't remember what's going on from day to day anymore.
See?
Interesting weekend. We discussed the first half an hour. I'm gonna put that stuff up on the site.
Good.
I'm going to do that. I really want to get people involved with this because I love EVP. I love studying EVP. I love listening to EVP.
And we'll do that now.
We're gonna do that. We're going to put that up on the site for that. Meanwhile, though, in the meantime.
We're very, very excited.
Very, very excited to have Rick and Karen from Life's Gift on the line right now.
Yeah.
We've been kind of, this is, you know, we get submissions, you know, and people that want to come on the show, and it's really cool. We love talking to as many people as possible. And sometimes we just get backlogged. I remember trying to do this one, and I'm like, okay, I really got to contact. I got to contact these people and talk to them. So finally we got it together and managed to get Rick and Karen on the line here. Are you guys there right now?
Good evening.
Hi.
Well, hi there.
Karen, are you hiding around there somewhere?
Yes, I'm here.
It's great to have you guys on the show.
It's really great to be a part of it tonight.
The first thing I want to, we talked about, okay, how are we going to do this? We always try to contact, talk to our guests, you know, and just get an idea what we're going to do here. And, you know, it's just one of those things where, the heading I see when I first saw this was Life's Gift. And the thing I saw was paranormal communications, which my antlers popped up. I'm like, ha ha.
Because that's what we were doing almost all last night.
Yeah.
Doing it our way, right?
Yeah, doing it our way.
We take the recording, we go to a haunted site, we take recordings.
Yeah.
Well, so this is going to be
and what was kind of funny,
very exciting.
Yeah. What was kind of funny is I contacted Rick a little bit earlier today before I left the house to come here. And we were discussing, and I kind of talked a little bit about what we were doing last night at Mansfield. And, you know, Rick did mention he's done some investigations himself, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I walk in there and I'm like, I got my recorder and my camera, and you know, I'm going for hard scientific evidence here, and Rick's like, Well, geez, I just kind of come there with myself. I just kind of come there with myself, and I just kind of go with it, right? Which I
think
is
exactly right.
That's what I think is very, you know, I think it's very cool because I know, I mean, we talked to a lot of people last night at Mansfield, and there was a lot of sensitives there, people that were going in the rooms, and they were going, oh, man, you got to get me out of here. I feel sick. I mean, some people literally, a young lady I did talk to, we were up in the little boys' room, they call it. I don't know what the actual name of the room is, but I spend a lot of time up there. And this lady actually got sick. She, like, got sick to her stomach and said, I have to leave. I need to get out of here. And I talked to her afterwards. She's like, I don't know what my problem was, but I wasn't feeling right. And I feel deprived sometimes because of that. Because I go into a room and I'm like, you know, I just kind of go in there and I have my camera and my recorder or whatever I'm using that night. And I sit down and I collect evidence. I'm just collecting samples and evidence from all these different environments. But there are these people out there that can walk into a room and get a feel, like Kelly, for example, Kelly from the Chance Soul, a good friend of ours, she can walk into a room and be like, okay, for example, last night, she's like, I see an incinerator or something like that. I heard her talk
she
about
she had
this.
Emailed me about that, like 2 weeks ago.
And she talked about this incinerator thing, and apparently there was we found out that there was an inmate who was burned alive or something in the cell, or somebody set this guy on fire or something.
Yeah.
I'm like,
so that's what she'd been seeing, but she you know, interpreted it as being incinerated, not just set on fire.
I think incinerated.
If I can interject here.
It's your show.
In the one Scott, you and I were talking about that I was involved with a couple weeks ago, we had a local television crew that came to do a segment on it, and their electronics, their batteries for their videos drained twice, and they said they've never had that happen before. And I looked at them and I said, well, unfortunately, I never drain.
Humans eat more food and get more sleep to build up energy.
Right.
It's an interesting thing you brought up, though, because that happens to us all the time.
It happened to Eric last night.
You know, and we
Eric B.
Yeah, it happens to people around us, and that's one thing we've learned to do over the years is, like, okay, when you go into an environment, you go to do an investigation, whatever you want to call it, man, the number one name of the game when it comes to equipment like this is the batteries. Make sure they are charged.
Well,
right?
Also, and Rick, this pertains to my equipment last night. I have a little recorder, and I pushed it on to record, and the light lit up the way it's supposed to, but it wasn't actually recording. It locked. Whereas if I were using myself, or if Rick was there, you know, using himself, you know, if he locks up, people would notice right away. They'd be like, he hasn't said anything for 10 minutes.
He hasn't moved. He's staying in the same spot for like 10 minutes.
Reboot him.
Reboot him.
Because I had to reboot my little MP3 recorder. I had to reboot it. I had to take the battery out and plug it back in in order to reboot it. It's never done that. 2 years I've been using it. So equipment is doomed to failure. You know,
it is.
And it seems to fail most often in that kind of environment. But a human like Kelly or Rick or, you know, anybody who can do that is, you know, not prone to that.
Now, Rick, the question I do have is, you know, we did talk about that, like I said, a little bit earlier. And what I was curious about is, have you been on a lot of these investigations for one thing? I mean, do you do this often?
Well, I actually became public. I kept my abilities private for many years because, let's just face it, you just don't go around telling everybody you see dead people. And so about 3 years ago, I had an experience that I comforted a friend over someone who had moved on. If you'll notice, I'll never mention the word death. Death is the definition of end, and I don't feel like there is an end to life. Life is everlasting, so I use the phrase move on. And so 3 years ago, I became public with this, and, you know, since then, it's I've been involved with a lot of investigation in homes that are having strange occurrences. I don't know if you're familiar with the Willard Library in Evansville, Indiana.
Absolutely.
But I've been invited. I was invited last year, and we had a book signing, and I wasn't able to be there, but I've committed myself to be locked in there October 29th, so I'm looking forward to that.
Very cool. Oh, my gosh. So we can watch you on the Haunted Library cam.
Yes.
Roaming around.
Doug, I'll be the one looking drained.
He hasn't moved in 4 hours. Maybe someone should go in and
reboot him.
Reboot him.
But yes, and actually, I've just I've been involved with a few of the scientific paranormal teams, like you was talking about, you was involved with yesterday, and it's exciting. I think if anything that it does with working together as a team like that just validates it even more that there is paranormal activity.
Well, you know, and that's what we've learned too. We've worked with so many different people over the years now, and we found that there this healthy marriage of hard, cold science and the intuitive properties, the mental properties that some people possess and some people don't possess. I mean, I personally think that everybody kind of has this power in them, but some people are able to harness it a lot easier than most others are.
Absolutely.
Like I said, I'm one of those people that just, you know, I'm cold as ice. I walk into a room and I'm like, you know, okay, you know, set the recorder.
Right, right.
And that's, you know, I sit there in the dark for like 3 days and then I just listen to this stuff and see if I can hear anything or see anything on the pictures or whatever. There is this healthy marriage, though, that, you know, it's always, in my opinion, a good paranormal team, you know, a tight organization, if you want to call it that, is somebody that's going to have their resident psychic on hand that's going to come in that room and go, guys, maybe take a picture over here. I'm feeling something over here.
I'm looking at it as information as well. I mean,
if
you can take a reading from a thermometer,
mm-hmm.
why can't you take a description or two from a person who's receiving information some other way?
Absolutely. Right?
And it all adds to the evidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what it all does. That's what I'm saying. You have that healthy marriage between the two right there.
Right.
People like Rick who can come to a situation where people, you know, they get their little head things on, their light head things, and their...
Oh, that's geeky. do you go out often like that, Rick, or...?
As far as with homes, it actually really started getting active. My schedule started getting active with going into homes and things with when our book was published last August, September. But the majority of my time is spent working person to person, what I call sessions, and I also do telesessions, which is over the phone.
Oh, yeah.
But I am picking up I get a lot of images or photographs from those all over the country that's saying, I've got these things going on in my home. What's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we're starting to see a lot of activity and a lot of scheduling to go into different places like that.
And that like you said, that's a great thing to do. I like when people want to try to donate their services like that or their ideas or let me check this out myself. Let me see what happens here.
And I am amazed. I mean, it really intrigues me to watch the scientific and, you know, what you were talking about, just to watch the investigators to the different types of equipment that you have. It amazes me.
Mm.
Well, so I guess, you know, what I do amazes the investigators, and I'm vice versa. I'm just standing there totally amazed at their, you know, their equipment and what it's doing and validating a lot of the energies that are around.
Well, and that's the name of the game right there. That's the process that I've kind of learned, is if you do have a resident psychic or a sensitive on hand and they walk into a room and they say, hey, man, I know, I feel like something happened here. This is what went down. You know, this person was here, and then this person may have done this, or whatever the situation is. I'm getting, like Doug said, this information we're talking about, because that's what it all comes down to, is information anyways. Okay, you know, I've had people do that. Shoot over there.
Yeah.
Shoot over in the corner of the room over there.
Take pictures over there.
Or record. You know, fire your recorder up and ask them this question. Ask them this question. What do they... Ask them what they think about this. And, you know, that just backs it up. It's a validation technique, you know. So when you get those two practices married together like that, it is a check and balance system where it's like, okay, I'm feeling this. Let's check this out.
Exactly.
See if you can validate this for me. Have you, I mean, I know, like I was talking about a second ago, I mean, just as a great example, last night there were a few people that came into rooms or were put into situations and stuff like that where they didn't feel right. They felt sick. They had to leave. And we may have a co-host sitting here that may have gotten sick as a result of something.
I think I'm having sympathetic tuberculosis or something. I don't know. It's terrible. When I went up there after that, I just, it was a downhill spiral.
Have you ever been put in a situation like that, Rick, where you actually may have gotten sick to your stomach, or, you know, you may have had just a bad vibe going on? Have you ever had those types of feelings before in a situation?
Well, it's not so much a bad vibe. It's more of a I do feel if they want to relay the message to me of the illness that they moved on with. For example, I was in a session yesterday and I immediately felt a tremendous pain in my upper left chest, and that validated that it was their mom that had moved on with breast cancer.
Okay.
And I even, you know, they even validated the fact that it was on the left side. So when I go into a home like that, the home that we write the book about, for example, mm-hmm. each time I go into that home, I feel different senses each time I go in, because there's different ones moving around there. And, you know, I can feel if we had an example in that home, for example, that this energy had moved on from lung cancer from smoking, and Karen had continually smelled the smell of smoke, cigarette smoke, even though nobody in the family smoked.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I walked in there, I immediately felt my chest just felt full. It just felt like that something had filled up my lungs.
Mm.
So, yes, it does.
A lot of people seem to validate that, too. A lot of sensitives mm-hmm. that we've talked with say that. Like, you know, I went into this room, and I was just overwhelmed with like, a gentleman I spoke to last night said he walked into a room, and he was like, it was like walking into a cobweb. You know, it was a great analogy, I think. It was like walking into a cobweb, man. I just felt it come all over me. And, you know, when you run into a cobweb, you look like this maniac trying, you know, the other people don't see the cobweb. But you run into it, and you feel it. So now you look like this maniac trying to, like, brush something off of himself while other people are going, what are you doing? What are you doing to yourself? That gentleman used that analogy last night, and I thought that was a great way to put it, because some people just get put in that situation, they feel this certain way. You guys said that you have a book out, or you have a book published. I want to talk about that for a second. What's the name of the book again?
The name of the book is "You're Not Crazy, You Have a Ghost."
I love that.
I wanted you to say that. I wouldn't be able to give it the same emotional value that it deserves. Okay.
Well, we can commend Karen with the title. She came up with the title because when she moved into the home, you know, with the experiences that she was experiencing right away in the home,
mm-hmm.
You know, there's oftentimes you'll say, "Am I going crazy?" You know, so. And the book is actually written as a workbook/experience type book, where she shares her experiences within the home, and then I follow up with each chapter about why these experiences are happening and what's the meaning behind them. But, yeah, you can thank her for the title, and it's a great title, I think.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well, it really it ties a lot of things together, in my opinion, because, I mean, we all know, everybody sitting down here in the haunted basement, and you guys sitting from where you're at, that when you come in contact with someone who isn't all too familiar or don't study the theories or the ideas or really discuss these things on a regular basis, the first thing they say is, hey, man, am I going nuts? am I seeing, I mean, okay, do I need help? I mean, is there something wrong? The first thing they assume is that they're going crazy. Sometimes they do. It's like, am I going crazy here? Which, you know, I think that's a negative way to look at it, unfortunately, but it's a healthy way. Now, let's talk about this, and let's convince you that, you know, most likely you're not crazy. You may have actually seen something. I mean, you may have not seen something. Just because, I mean, we talk about this a lot, too, where the mind sometimes manufactures these things in front of your eyes. You see these things. That don't mean you're crazy, necessarily. That means, hey, you got the heebie-jeebies. We all get the heebie-jeebies sometimes, and that manufactures these things. Or you legitimately may have saw some shadowy person walk by right in front of your eyes, and, well, the one thing you did, the most important thing, in my opinion, is that you're acknowledging it. You're paying attention to that. And a lot of people don't want to do that. They just go, they brush it under the carpet and say, I don't want to deal with it. I'm going to move on.
Denial.
They deny the whole thing. So that whole idea of you're not crazy, you know, you, most likely you're not. You're really not. It's just, you know, talk about it with some people. And, of course, you know, like you said, Rick, I mean, you kept a lot of your abilities and things that you can do private. Because, yeah, what's the first thing you say to somebody? Well, I see dead people. And they're going to go, okay, let me make a phone call here. I'll be right back, okay?
Right.
So I love the title. I mean, that's it's a funny title, but it's actually a very true title. And the setup you guys have, because I did review the setup and stuff. I mean, we talk about Karen. This is what I saw. This is what I saw. You know, this is what's going on. And then Rick comes and goes, okay, here's, you know, kind of the theory. Well, here's what's going on with your situation. This is what's happening. It's a workbook setup, which I think that's really... I've never seen a book set up in that manner like that. It's set up as more of a true educational... Let's give you guys some ideas about how this thing works. You mentioned one other thing, too, Rick, when we were talking earlier, that you guys are going to be coming out here to our neck of the woods pretty soon.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Do you care to
Yeah,
go ahead.
We've been working on it for about a year. We ran some marketing scenarios just to see if the market was out there. But Life's Gift is currently planning on, we call them Life's Gift seminars.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be, we're looking at coming up in the Detroit, Ann Arbor, Michigan area.
Mm-hmm.
We're hoping in probably toward the late fall.
Mm-hmm.
We have an event coordinator, volunteer event coordinator that we're meeting with in July, and just kind of go over the market and what we can expect when we come up there. And like I say, I'm looking forward to coming up to Michigan, because we have so many Life's Gift friends in Michigan itself. And so, we're hoping to be up there in the fall. And of course, when I do, I definitely want to meet the team of Ghostly Talk.
That would be amazing. I would love
We love going to seminars and stuff. That's what we do. I mean, we're always out and about trying to talk to new people and, you know, talk about our show, too, and tell them what we do and how we get the word out about all these wild things that are going on around us.
And continually learning.
Yes, and continually learning. I think I'm the sick one here.
Yeah, why can't you pronounce continually?
I don't know. My voice is
shattered. Continually learning, yes.
So
the seminar is being planned as I originally wanted to do the seminar just to talk on topics, for example, of what is the real meaning of haunted homes, what is life after death,
mm-hmm.
and topics in that scenario. But I'm having a lot of feedback that they're actually wanting me to do a session type as part of the seminar to kind of relay messages, per se. I was really concerned about doing that just because of the fact when you have a large group of 100 or so, you start, you know, that's where the skepticism comes in and says, well, if he said blue truck, that could have been anybody out of 100 people. But because of the feedback I'm getting back, I think we're going to make that a part of the seminar now. We're just going to say, hey, if you're skeptical, that only means you're still learning to understand.
Mm-hmm. Well, and skepticism's good. I mean, I personally think it's a healthy thing to have. I mean, along with your hardcore investigation team, you have the resident psychic, you have the science guys, and I always like having somebody there that's always going to be like, yeah, okay, let me look at that picture now.
Yeah.
Let me see that picture now, and I'll tell you what's really there. And, you know, as long as it don't turn into a fist fight, you know, it can be a really educational conversation you have with that person. A lot of people, I know there are some people that don't really like to work with skeptics because, they throw me off. They throw me off. Well, you got to keep yourself grounded on your own terms right there. Listen to what these people have to say. It can really start up a great conversation about this stuff and give you ideas to help you learn yourself as a paranormal investigator or whatever it is you do in the paranormal field. Now, you said, what is the... I mean, you threw this out here, and I'm going to call you out on it, Rick. I have to.
Okay.
what is the true meaning of a haunted house? I've never really heard a question thrown out like that. You know, I've heard, like, well, why is this place haunted? Or, you know, who haunted it? Or, you know, what happened there? But the definition, I want to hear what the definition is. I mean, maybe...
At least a thumbnail before the seminar.
A thumbnail before the seminar.
A teaser.
Yeah, if you could, yeah.
Well, actually, a haunted home is nothing more than... a house is just a house until a family moves in or residents move in and start creating memories or start creating moments in the house itself.
Okay.
And after a length of time of being in the home, that family then creates the house and turns it into a home.
Mm-hmm.
And a home is just filled with memories. So a haunted home is nothing more than energies that either are connected to the family that is currently living in the home,
mm-hmm.
and they do not understand the validation of the messages that they're receiving, or number two, they are residents, past residences of that home that enjoys being in the home.
Mm-hmm.
It's their choice to remain in the home's area. For example, Karen's home has a lot of energies. The main energy there is the original builder of the home. He's there for one reason and one reason only. He wants to maintain that home as a home,
mm-hmm.
and not to turn it into a business or anything like that.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting idea, because the first thing when you threw this at us, the first thing I thought was, okay, you know, you have a house. Now, we can go out right now, you get the money together, you can build a house. You just build a house, and this is something that somebody could live in and sleep in, and this is where they hang out at, right? And I've always thought that too. You know, I mean, a house is, you know, it's just an object. It's a possession.
Right.
A home is a whole different idea. You know, that's an environment that you create, you know, by living in that house and creating, you know, rules and things like that.
And then you've got to remember though that house, there may have been another residence before that house was built there.
That's exactly what I was going to.
For example, that was an Indian settlement.
Mm-hmm.
And they were having all kinds of experiences in the home, even though the home was less than 10 years old. And they were the only ones living in the home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was a home there before. It was an Indian settlement.
Yeah, I'm convinced now because you're reading my mind. That's exactly what I wanted to ask you about. Was just that. No, that's the thing. That wasn't factored in just yet. It's like, okay, well, you build a house, but, you know, what was on that land? What happened on that land before that house was built on that land, for example,
right?
And we hear that all the time. Well, you know, I mean, that's the classic case right there. I mean, homes, there's places around this area where we live where, you know, we're in the suburbs here, right? And it's like, well, this suburb used to be an Indian battleground or burial ground or something like that. And
right.
It's like all kinds of weird stuff happens around here. But there is this, I mean, the idea that you're throwing out, which is, it's brilliant in my opinion, that when you do have a home like that, you do, after you create these memories and these things you do, and I always like to call it a psychic sponge, or you leave a psychic impression on the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, for example, I mean, I imagine someone who builds their own house, they're going to be emotionally attached to it.
Yeah, they put a lot of love and energy and time and money into it.
Yeah, and they're going to, I mean, even if they do pass on or move on, they may still be attached to that home here on this plane of existence where, you know, hey, this is my house, man. I'm going to keep an eye on this place. This is my house still. I've built this place. I mean, the true owner of a home, in my opinion, is someone who does, you know, build. I'm not talking about like these construction firms that come out here and like lay down a whole like suburb like, in 5 minutes. Like you see these housing complexes.
But
pop
the people
up,
who
like,
are
five
emotionally
minutes.
Attached well, to the place. Yeah,
we've been to so many places with these.
Not
these.
The people who put up the drywall unless you were the person. Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
But the people who took that
they did
brick
it all.
And mortar and plywood and made it into a home. Yeah,
I'm talking about the people like the older homes that we visit. We've been to, and I'm sure you've been to also, Rick. These homes that were built from the ground up. It wasn't it wasn't built as a whole complex. It was built as one house. This is my piece of land. I'm going to build my own house on this piece of land. And obviously, that's a very emotional thing you're doing right there. I mean, you just created your little kingdom. That's
right.
What it is. It's your little kingdom. And
I have to tell you how attached the family actually is to my house.
Yeah.
The original builder, you know, he's still in the house, and his children, actually, a couple of them still live down the street from us, and they're in their 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a dinner party about a month ago, and all of his children came, you know, because they were still attached to the house. They know he's in the house. They've seen pictures, have validated it.
Mm-hmm.
And we have them over every once in a while.
Yeah.
So they're still very attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people, I know there's people that I've met before, and I've actually considered doing it myself. Like, I mean, the house I grew up in, where Scott L. grew up in back when he was a little lad, I drive by it every once in a while, in the old city I used to live in. And there have been a few times where I've thought, like, you know, I wonder how nuts these people would think if I actually came up to the front door and said, hey, can I just, you know, I used to live here, you know, my father, you know, bought this home and whatnot back in the day, and could I just, like, take a look? You know,
I have people constantly knocking on my door for tours.
Really?
All the time. Just strangers, you know. I remember this when I was a little girl. I played in here. I remember, you know, this, you know, everybody knows something about our house. It's a small town, of course. And, you know, the house is 100 years old. So everybody remembers something about it, and especially when we were going through the restoration process. It was every week somebody was banging on my door wanting a tour.
They're checking
and
me out.
The thing you got to recall is, just like you was you was bringing up about stopping at your old home place.
Mm-hmm.
If you walked in that home, there would be little things in that home that would bring back such significant memories.
Oh,
for example, you may have taken a crayon and colored on one part of the wall as a child, and you would remember that. So those are memories in that home that you have within yourself and also within the home.
Yeah, and it just takes seeing it one more time again just for a split second to bring all that emotion back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, drawing that transformer or whatever on the wall with the crayon, like you said. I mean, whatever it was I was drawing on there, it's going to be like, man, you know, I did that, you know, that was an emotional thing. It really was. Like, I'm so into this thing that I'm going to draw it and really make my dad mad. And draw on the wall here, right? And, I, you know, of course, I'm going to be like, man, my butt hurt after that, too. God, I got a beating for that one, didn't I? Because I did do that. I'm not going to lie to you.
That's a memory you didn't forget either, right?
No, of course not. But that's the interesting thing. I mean, obviously, with a home like that, Karen, I mean, there's a lot more history involved. And it's
they do that with the Octagon House in Washington. Even though that's now a historic site and they're, you know, redoing it, they give tours every other Sunday or something.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people who come on the tour, and they do a $3 donation, I think it is, to do the tour.
Mm-hmm.
The big old, it's shaped like an octagon, and so it's very unique.
Mm-hmm.
And people, they tell stories about them having played there with the family that lived there or, you know, things like that. And, it's amazing,
those
stories,
That's just, I like I said, I've driven by my old house thinking, man, I should stop in there. The only difference, though, between you guys, well, your house, Karen, and the house that I grew up in is that, you know, it was probably built, like, in the 60s, I think, okay? And we live in Metro Detroit, so it's a little, they're like, what do you want to come walking through my house for? This person that
right.
I don't know.
They're like, hang on, I got to make a phone call.
Yeah.
911.
Yeah. There's this crazy guy with long hair on my front porch, and he says he used to live here, and he wants to come in this house and walk around. Okay, we'll be right there. And then the next thing I know, I'm at the police station going,
right.
I just wanted to see my house.
That's what it'll be like.
Exactly. It's a bit different here, you know. But I can understand that, though. You are, like you guys said, you're emotionally attached to this thing. And I know in my mind right now, Rick, I'm thinking about this. I mean, I could probably walk in that house and see a couple of pinholes that I put in the wall that I put like, you know, my favorite band's poster up or something like that, going, yeah, man, that was cool back then. I would probably see something like that and go, God, man, wow.
And not only see it, but just think, but you could be very vivid about that memory. You probably look at that pinhole and be able to tell which poster was placed on that wall.
I mean, remember it vividly.
Yeah, it's a lot of memories within the home. Now, to go one step further, though, a lot of ones have asked me about those who have moved on by way of, for example, murdered in the home.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they still in the home if that's a bad memory in that home?
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, they're doing nothing but wanting to relay messages to let us know that there is a life after. And so most of the times those types are searching for someone to help them relay the message. And by doing that, they may do what I call physical validations, where they hear someone going up the stairs at night, you know, something falling off the ceiling or off the shelf. And that is nothing more than just to get your attention.
Okay.
So, I mean, if you're trying to get Scott's attention right now and he wasn't paying attention to you, you could take that pencil there and throw it across the room and hit him right in the head. He'd pay attention to you.
He does that anyways. Don't worry.
I do that for fun. Yeah. No, to really get his attention, I have to wave and make faces.
Jump up and down in a cartwheel. Well, the idea, that's an interesting idea. One idea that I've thought, now, I mean, a great example, obviously, is that we were there last year. Was a place, you know, Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. I'm sure you've heard about it.
who hasn't?
Yeah, it's just a little town in Pennsylvania somewhere. I don't really know what happened there.
They say it's haunted.
Yeah, they say it's haunted. But, you know, you say that these people that maybe have moved on as a result of a violent end, you know, murder or suicide or something like that. Maybe not so much suicide, but murder itself. It seems that, you know, when a person's murdered, it's not usually something they want to have happen to them.
Right.
They don't really expect it to happen to them. But, so it's a very sudden thing. Whereas in, I mean, people say that the term, you know, he was basically thrown from his mortal coil. He just kind of was knocked out of it, knocked loose from his mortal coil, him or her. I've always kind of had this idea that if somebody comes to their end that way, and it's very sudden, and they don't really expect it to happen, that they may still be there for the reason that they really don't know where to go.
They're a bit confused,
you know. I mean, have you heard this idea before, Rick?
Absolutely. In fact, we have a very good example of that in Karen's home. She can tell you a little bit more, but just I'll give you my a beginning of the experience. Her son, who was at about 8 or 9 years old at the time, kept coming downstairs and relaying to her that he kept seeing this man. And to make a long, I will let her lead into it, but it was a person from the Civil War who felt that he wasn't able to, what I call, move forward. I truly feel that when someone moves on, we have choices here while we're in our Earth plan to make our own choices, whether which path, which way to go, which way to turn. And it's the same thing when we move on. When we move on, we have a choice to stay in the Earth plane to guide and protect those loved ones who are still here on Earth, or we have a choice to go toward the light or go to heaven. And in this case, with this Civil War ghost that she had in her home, he felt his choice was not to go because he felt like he wasn't worthy just due to the fact he had killed, shot some soldiers. So if Karen, you want to talk a little bit about that soldier in there.
Calvin and my son, like Rick explained, he would just really became obsessed with this time period. I mean, his room right now is still decorated in Civil War memorabilia. He started collecting it, and it was really bizarre because at his age, I mean, he could tell me battle strategies. He could tell me things that went on in the Civil War. There's no way he would know this at this age, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And he started kept saying that he kept seeing a man, but he couldn't see his legs. That's how it started out. In the middle of the night, he kept waking me up saying, I see this man, but I can't see his legs. Mm. He'd get all freaked out. And I'd go in his room, and I wouldn't see anything. But I guess I'm one of those people that's kind of sensitive. When I would go into the room, my ears would pop, kind of like when you're in an airplane or whatever.
Yeah, pressure in your ears, yeah.
Pressure, just a lot of pressure, you know, pressure on your chest, everything.
Mm.
And I could tell there was something really there, but I didn't want to scare him. So, of course, you know, you're like, well, I don't see anything. You know, we didn't really talk real openly in the beginning about all this, what we were seeing with the kids, trying to keep them from being scared.
Mm.
But it got to the point where Calvin, my son, was having regular conversations with this entity, and he started telling us that he was talking to this entity, and you know, he was telling him all this stuff, and even went to the point that my son had an old pocket watch, and he hung it in his closet, and I'm like, well, why did you do that for? And he said, well, Mr. After talking to Rick, we got his name. It was Garrison. We think that was his last name.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, Garrison lost his pocket watch when he was at battle, and I want to give him my pocket watch.
Hmm.
And there would be times that you would go into his room and that pocket watch in the closet would be spinning and all kinds of stuff. So it was just really weird. And my son really felt like that was his friend. It even went to the point where Rick came over and, you know, he was helping us with this at this, you know, after it progressed on a little more.
Hmm.
And he had talked to my son Calvin and told him to draw a picture of what he felt like Garrison looked like. And Calvin drew a picture of this entity, and he drew gold all around him, and he put the words in the corner he wrote by. And we asked him why he did that, and he said, well, Garrison told me that he's going to move on soon, and I'm really going to miss him.
Aww.
And it was just, and he still talks about him yet to this day. You know, he still does remember this entity fondly. It felt like he was a friend.
Well, he probably still is.
And actually, the outside of our house, we restored it. You know, it's a Victorian-style home.
Mm-hmm.
And we found a paint color called Garrison, and we actually painted the house in this color in terms of vicinity. So.
You guys are making me call my mother now, man. Wow. I'm, like, totally warm all over now. Wow.
Well, so for example, the Gettysburg that you brought up, there are a lot of energies there that just do not feel like they're worthy to move forward.
I never even heard of it put that way before. I mean, some people,
it makes so
guilt.
Much sense.
Well, it's this feeling of guilt, like, you know what, man?
I
didn't live a very good life. I don't feel like I did the right things.
Even though it was my job, when I was a soldier and I had to, you know, shoot because I was being shot at, I feel like I'm not worthy of going to heaven. Mm-hmm. I mean, that makes sense to me. I can put myself in that same situation.
Well, a lot of us, I mean,
line of thinking.
Humans by nature are prone to guilt in mass quantities.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, it's thrust upon us by a lot of people.
Yeah, I know. But, yeah. I know I roll around in it like mud, usually. Yeah. I mean, I'm like all over it, but I never really heard somebody put it that way where, you know, this person didn't feel like they could move towards the light or move to that higher level of existence or even thinking at that.
They definitely have a choice when they move on. I mean, but, you know, when you do move on, you have... If you have loved ones still here on Earth, you would still, I mean, if your mom moves on and she's been guiding and protecting you as a child and growing up and she moves on, mm-hmm. sure, if she's got a choice to stay and maintain and guide you, she's gonna stay with you. Mm-hmm. But if all the loved ones have moved forward or have moved to the light or to heaven, then your choice will be to be with them.
God, that's an interesting idea. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be thinking about that all night now. I tell you. Unfortunately, guys, we do have to drop off. And now we said we're going to have to cut off early. But I tell you what, you guys are going to be coming back really soon. Now, I'm just going to say this out loud.
Works for your schedule, you just let us know. I apologize.
We're going to do this. We're going to do this as soon as possible. So what we'll do, guys, is we'll probably be on the email all week or on the phone or something like that.
Fine.
We'll work that out with you guys. We're really sorry, but Doug, he's like ready to fall off the chair right now.
I'm not doing too good. But I do. I find
Doug,
this so
help you, you're going to be better by Wednesday, okay?
Oh, I hope so. Thank you so much. But I want to know, before we do that, I want to know your website and how do we get your book?
Yeah.
Okay, the website is Life's Gift, that's LifesGift.com. Mm-hmm. And the book is again, the title of the book is You're Not Crazy, You Have a Ghost.
Hey, Karen, I want to hear you say that, too. I want to hear you say the title of the book.
You're Not Crazy, You Have a Ghost.
There you go. That's it, right there.
And it's available at the website. It's also available at Amazon.com.
And, cool. Of course, we're putting up a link on our homepage. Everybody gets, who we talk to.
We got
a
permanent link. They get put permanent in the hall of guests. The hall of links of guests. So we're going to definitely have you guys linked up on there. Like I said, we're really sorry we have to drop off early tonight. But we're going to be having you guys come out back like really soon. We'll get that all worked out. Because there's a lot of things I still want to talk about here.
I
hate doing this because, I mean, I think there's things that we need to resolve.
The reason we went to the half hour of our format and then the hour and a half with guests, and because guests are so interesting.
Yeah,
this is another one, but I apologize, I'm just not up to it.
We're gonna do this.
And we'll look forward to being back on the show.
Definitely.
Thank you, Karen.
You guys have a great night. Thanks again, guys. We'll be talking to you like this week sometime. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye bye, guys. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, man. Well, I'll tell you what.
To listeners, you guys, I apologize, but I'm just not up to it today.
Did I say that on the air yet? Like, when's the last time you missed work here?
Well, I tried to count them and I couldn't.
You couldn't because it's zero. So don't worry about it, man. It happens. I think if anybody doesn't understand, feel free to email us and we'll email you back another very colorful email to let you know how we feel about it.
No, no, I've gone off again.
He's out of it. He's falling apart. Well. Get us out of here before Doug dies.
You guys, thank you for listening. We'll be back 2 weeks from now with more Ghostly Talk.
We're off next weekend.
Is Indianapolis 500.
Yeah, we're going to go to the race.
Well, we're going to go to Indianapolis.
It's going to be quite a weekend. I was thinking about doing... Well, I don't even know what's going on yet. It's so up in the air right now.
If it's possible, I
might do like, you know... Let's get the hour of Scott L. Sex Talk or something like that. I don't know.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, that'll be really interesting, dude. But we'll find out what's going on. And, of course, if something does come up, we're going to let you guys know on the website. Just keep in tune, ghostlytalk.com, all that fun stuff. Scott, we'll figure it out. We'll figure out what's going to happen.
And go get that book because we're going to have Rick and Karen on again.
Hopefully in 2 weeks.
So read that book first so we can give them, good questions.
We can just nail it. We can just put the light over their head and go crazy.
Because they're absolutely fascinating.
Amazing ideas.
So
that's it, man. We're out of here.
You guys.
Doug, we're going to put Doug to bed right now, as a matter of fact. But on that note, I'm Scott Al.
I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
And this was Ghostly Talk. Doug, go to bed.
I know. I got my teddy bear running. Good night, everybody.
Have a good week, guys. Bye-bye.
true science will not deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from the Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.